You know anybody else and ever been born that they've written so many songs about? Huh? Songs after songs after songs after songs about one person. Jesus, the Christ, the Son of God. And they're all joyful, aren't they? Don't they make your heart glad? Don't they pick you up in the element of your spirit being? Don't they touch your soul when you really think about it? The element of who he was? Come, let us adore him. Wouldn't even faze you if he wasn't truly who he said he was. If he wasn't the Son of God, that song would not touch human hearts. He was who he was. He is the Son of God. And because of that, these music, this song, touches the hearts of people. It really does. It makes a difference in a lot of people's lives, doesn't it? I hope it touches your heart. Because we'll talk about this inexpressible joy that is full of glory. Inexpressible joy. You see, to me, by the grace God has given to me from Jesus' boundless store that he has shared with me, if I will but myself resign, the gain that opened the door through righteousness of Christ my King, come joy beyond degree. With every breath, God, let me sing of him who died for me. Let every breath comes from me. You know, I find myself, and the other day, Marilyn and I was in the yesterday, I guess it was, for Cracker Barrel. We had to get some things. We went out for breakfast, and just I wasn't even conscious of the fact that I was singing. I was humming Christmas song. The waitress comes up, and she says, "Wow, it's really good to hear somebody singing before they get their breakfast." Wow, okay. You see, because those who bring joy to other people cannot but have that same joy come back to them. You hear what I just said? The people, individual, you and me, that bring joy and sunshine into the lives of other people, you can't keep it from yourself. Can't do it. Jesus doesn't save us for ourselves. Did you know that? He didn't save you for yourself. He didn't at all. Even though we may pray, restore to me the joy of my salvation, which we may pray, Lord, restore to me the joy of my salvation, Jesus saved me for himself. He saved me for himself, that he, God, and me could have fellowship with him. For me to be able to share this eternal relationship that God has already and always wanted with his creation. That's why he made man in the first place, in his image, in a spirit being, so man could have fellowship with the Creator, the God who made us. Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. If you eat of this bread, you'll not what? You'll never hunger again." Jesus said, "I'm the one and the water of life. And if you first come and drink, and if you drink," he says, "you'll never thirst again." Salvation is more than having your sins washed away. Salvation is more than having, indeed, knowing that you're forgiven. It is having a fellowship, a personal relationship, a joyful relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Come be reconciled to God. Have fellowship with God. Jesus came to be that mediator, the means by which man could again reach up, reach his heart up, and have fellowship with the Creator of the universe, the one who spoke and everything came into being. 1 Corinthians 1:9 says, "God is faithful, through whom you were called into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ the Lord." What? We were called into having fellowship with the Creator, with Jesus Christ the Lord. Forgiveness gets everything out of the way. Having your sins washed away and being sanctified through the blood of Jesus Christ gets everything out of the way. So the Holy One, the Holy God, can have fellowship with you and me in the inner spirit as he comes into us, into our heart. And in that way, so to speak, we have a joyful fellowship with the Creator, with God himself and with his Son. 1 John chapter 1, John writes these words. Be good for you to read them over and over again. 1 John chapter 1, verse 1 and following. It says, "What was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands concerning the word of life. And the life was manifested. We have seen and testify and proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and was manifest to us." The word manifest simply means, as I preached that, nothing was done and said. It was clearly seen. The light of the world had come, and it radiated throughout the world at that point in time. What we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you also, so that you too may have fellowship with us, the apostles, and indeed our fellowship is with the Father, God, and with His Son, Jesus Christ. These things we write. Why? So that our joy may be made complete. These men had joy in going about preaching the gospel that through that means man could have fellowship with God, with the Father, and with Jesus Christ. And having and seeing people come to the Father through Christ brought joy into their hearts. No question about it. We have the privilege today, even today, to be able to have fellowship with God, a joyful fellowship. God doesn't want a people afraid of Him. He wants people to be in love with Him. And perfect love casts out all fear. You know that? John will go on and say that in his writing. Remember when Mary walked into the presence of Elizabeth? All she did was walk into the room. And as she walked into the room, this is Elizabeth's testimony. She said, "For behold, when the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in me leaped with joy." Yeah, that tells me something about babies inside the mother's womb. Huh? John was conscious. That's John the Baptist leaped in Elizabeth's womb. What about all these babies that are being aborted? Huh? That speaks to me. John was alive. John heard. John knew. He was aware of his person. Even when he was a baby, he knew that he was the forerunner of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And he leaped with joy in Elizabeth's womb when he heard Mary's voice. Ah, glory to God in the highest of this inexpressible joy that you and I have. Jesus is the inexpressible, and He is the inexpressible joy. Luke 2:10, remember when the angel said to the shepherd, they announced, "Don't be afraid. Behold, we bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." You imagine what this world would be like if Jesus Christ had never been born, if the message of the gospel had never been preached. You know who in the world, what would this world be like? You ever really thought about it? If you're going back and study history, what has occurred in history because of people who had this joyful experience with God made a difference in the world in which we live in today. It's because of Christianity this world is what it is today. It would be a hell on earth if Jesus Christ hadn't been born. Jesus is the Prince of Peace, and there will be no peace without Him. And we're seeing it today. We're taking God out of our schools. We're taking Jesus Christ out of our knowledge. We're doing everything we can to get God out of the aspect so man doesn't have to have any accountability to anybody but himself. And man is becoming his own God. We're being filled with a world of narcissism where man worships himself and sets himself up on the altar rather than bowing their knees to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I bring you good news of great joy, which shall be to all people. John 15:11, Jesus states, "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full." You know, you can be full of baloney, but I'd rather y'all be full of joy. I could tell you a joke about a little bird that loved baloney, but I'm not going to take the time. Be full of joy. Be a joyful person. Rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say, rejoice. Rejoice in what Jesus has done for you and the salvation that has come to your life. John 17:13, Jesus said, "But now I come to you, these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled within themselves." Jesus came to bring joy to the world. That's why He came. In all my studies of history, the aspect of joy that I have experienced in the history of reading about the world, it's because of Jesus Christ that brought that joy. People committed, believing, knowing that He was the Son of God and what they have done to make a difference in the world. That joy they brought into this world will not come and they and were filled with that same joy. Jesus was filled with joy because he came to give you and me that same joy. That inexpressible joy. Yet when I look at Jesus' life and all the aspects, you know how unlimited you are to be a joyful person? The capacity that you have to allow God's love and spirit fill you with that joy is unlimited. The fruit of the spirit is love, joy. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, gentleness. Love, joy, capacity. To be able to be filled with the fullness of God is to be able to be filled with the joy that God gave to the world through Jesus Christ. Jesus offers himself as that divine object of your and my joy. That's what he did. He offered himself on that cross, and he poured and wants to pour that same joy into your life so that you can have joyful fellowship with God and with one another. We come in here, it should be a house of joy. God's house should be a house of joy. Amen? Should be a place of joy, with smiles and people. Yeah, oh, wait, oh, I know you. You got problems, don't you? Who doesn't? You ever thought about it? This joy unspeakable and full of glory, this joy unspeakable and full of glory, this joy which is unspeakable and full of glory, Jesus, for all eternity, is the mirror of that glory, reflecting to all of us his joy. Yet, when you think about it, the Son of God says, thy throne of God is forever and forever, and thy righteousness, he says, the aspects of that, the scepter of your kingdom is the scepter of his kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness, hated lawlessness. Therefore, God, thy God, has anointed you with the oil of joy above all of other companions. The anointing is the Holy Spirit, people. Remember last week I said there were only two that were anointed by this, like the king and the priest? Remember, you and I are all a royal priesthood. The anointing God gave to you and me is the person of the Holy Spirit that now lives in us. Remember, the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy. Therefore, thy God has anointed you with a spirit of joy. Jesus is the joy. He is the gladness. He's the joy of the universe. His joy and his gladness is greater than all the angels put together. There's no measure who he is. But Jesus, of all that inexpressible joy, Jesus, with all that inexpressible joy, was a man of sorrows and full of grief. Remember? He said, my soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch with me. Remember when he said that to the disciples? This Jesus said, our great high priest in Hebrews 4, 14 and 15, he says he is able with us to sympathize. Why? Because he was tried. He was tempted in every way like you and I are. But he was without sin. He wept at Lazarus' death. He was hungry. He was tired. He was weary. He was forsaken. He was betrayed. He was spit on. He was slapped. He was scourged. He was mocked. He was crucified. Yet he's a man of inexpressible joy. Don't tell me about your problems. Look at what he went through. Look at what he endured on your behalf and opened the door for you and I to have his joy in us, fill in our lives. Could Jesus go all through what he went through and still create a sympathy, a symphony of songs and praise that you and I sing? Think of all the times and all the music, of all the songs that glorify him and lift him up, that fill your heart. Maybe what you and I need to do is get some CDs and just listen to those songs over and over and over until the message finally breaks through. You think maybe our ears get a little dull of hearing sometimes? You think maybe we hear it too much? That pretty soon it doesn't have any more meaning, it doesn't have any impact, it has no force. suppose that could be? You suppose the Lord's Supper gets old? Does it really? Does it really? How many of you every year go and pay respect to those who have died that you loved? But this isn't just a table that you and I pay respect to someone we love. We pay respect because he first loved us. He first loved us and gave his life for us. And we love him, 1 John 3, because he first loved us. Right? 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 Yeah, that's right. But listen to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Hebrews 12, 2 tells us, for the joy, are you listening? For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, is seated at the right hand of the throne of God, which has sustained our Lord. And how did he sustain all that he did? How could he sustain it all and still preach and give and share a message of joy? Because he did it. He went through it all with joy in his heart. Why? Because of the end result. Remember that? Huh? Remember what it says? It says we are blessed. Blessed be the God and Father who, according to his great mercy, has caused us to be born again to what? A living hope. A hope is a reality. It's a foundation of our lives. It's what keeps us and holds our lives together. Our hope. We hope in God. We don't hope in the world. But that hope came through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, man. That you and I may obtain an inheritance which is imperishable, undefiled, and will not fade away. It's reserved for you in heaven. Is it worth going through what you have to down here? That's how Jesus could feel what he did, because of the joy of anticipating the end result of his death and his resurrection. What do you got to look forward to? An inheritance. It's imperishable, undefiled. It won't fade away. It's reserved for you in heaven, for you. And you are protected. What? You're protected by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last day. Parousia, at the second coming, when he is seen and every eye shall see him. Even those who pierced him will see him. This you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while. What's 60 years, 70, 80 years of going through torment and hell down here compared to what you got to look forward to? You ever thought about it? Put it in perspective, people. I have to. Everybody should. Yeah, it's not. Jesus said, in this life, you're going to have tribulation. Isn't that what he said? Yeah, he did. But fear not, little ones. Why? Because I've overcome the world. That's what he promised us. And so we'll go through various trials so that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, your faith. Your faith, that God won't allow you to be tried above what you can stand, but with every temptation, he'll give you a way to endure it. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We are more than conquerors through Christ who loved us. This precious faith is more precious than perishable, even though you'll be it's like fire, isn't it? Huh? Doesn't that fire sometimes get in the pit of your gut? Huh? Don't you feel it burning sometimes, what you're going through? What do you think he went through? What do you think Nahab and Abihu and them went through? What do you think, huh? What do you think? Were they tested by fire? Yeah. Yes, they were. But God delivered them, right? And the result is praise, glory, honor at the parousia of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not see him now, you believe in him. You greatly rejoice. You greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, obtaining as the outcome of your faith the salvation of your souls. Isn't that what it's all about? This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. Yeah, I'm putting her 80 years old, but I've enjoyed living. I enjoyed sharing the joy of Jesus Christ. I enjoy sharing the gospel. I love the aspect of seeing people's lives change. I love seeing what Jesus can do in people's lives. I love what I see. It brings joy to my heart. And make it because I bring fellowship into my life. a new brother, a new sister in Christ, somebody who's going to walk with me right on through this life until I get to heaven. You suppose that's why the Bible says, bear ye one another's burdens, carry one another's loads, bear one another's crosses, and thus fulfill the law of Christ. Whose cross are you bearing? Who are you helping to get through this life? Who are you reaching out to and making a difference in their life to help them get through what they're going through? Isn't that what Jesus did for us? Aren't we the body of Christ? Aren't we not to be sharing the love of Christ with one another? You know, when you think about it, today Jesus said that the good shepherd takes joy in one sheep that is found. What? He takes joy in one sheep that was lost, that is found. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says that one person, when they repent, the angels in heaven are filled with joy over one sinner that repents and turns from sin, turns to God. Joy in heaven rings when one person turns back to God. That may be you today. That could be you. You could bring joy and fill the heavens and the angels with the singing of glorious things if you simply would take a moment of time and say, I'm going to start searching for God. I'm going to walk God's way. Today is a new day in my life. Before a new year, I'm going to change my life by changing my focus. I'm going to fix my eyes on Jesus. Psalms 81:1, sing for joy to God, our strength, shout joyfully. Nehemiah 8:10, the joy of our Lord is our strength. Romans 14:17, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Joy in the Holy Spirit. You want that joy? Huh? The joy can't get, the world can't give it to you. The world can't give you peace. They can't give you what they don't have. Isn't that right? Huh? There's no peace in the world. There's no joy in the world. There isn't. There is not. The only joy that is in the world today is in the lives of those people who are now walking a relationship and a fellowship with God. I really believe that. I really do. If you're here today and you want that joy, it's a gift from God. This is Christmas. You know, you want to receive a gift that's going to be given joyfully. How many of you have given gifts and maybe already in your heart you're saying, I don't want to have to do this, but I guess I better. Huh? I suppose nobody's here that bought a gift that you didn't really want to buy, but you knew you better buy it, because if you didn't buy it, somebody's feelings might be hurt, right? Huh? Isn't that crazy to live in a world like that? That we're in that type of mode that we have to worry about that type of thing? We shouldn't have to, should we? Huh? Shouldn't have to. So if you're here today and you have a point in time as maybe you're ready to turn to God and find this joy, then we certainly want to help you to find it. Really do. You're not going to find it in the world. I don't care how hard and how far you look. You're not going to find it. It's not there. You're not going to find it in the bottle. You're not going to find it in some drugs. You're not going to find it. It's not there. You're not going to find it. Jesus is our inexpressible joy. Amen? So we're going to stand and we're going to sing joy to the world. The Lord has come. And if you want him, he's yours. You can receive him. Just come forward if you want, or just say to me as you're walking out the door, Bill, I want that joy. Will you come and talk with me? That's all you got to do. That's all you got to do. We'll be more than happy to come and share that joy, because it's not mine. I got it. But Jesus is the joy, the inexpressible. Sing it. Sing it from your hearts.